And for the recording, Matte will briefly summarize your question for being on the tape so that whoever listens to the recordings will have some idea of what the answer's about. And Sayadaw has asked Alexis to take pictures of the hall scene here. So it's just for Sayadaw, so you won't be on anybody's Facebook page. Well, maybe his, but you can look.
ท่านคู่เลยเพียงคุณน่ะเพียงโฟกัสลงว่ามันหลุดออกหมดอ่ะช็อตไปนะเนาะ คูพี่ใครนามตีนยงนิดเดียวใส่เสียมั้ยทักกะตีนไปอ่ะเอาเนาะไอ้หลูอาช่อไล่ยิงอายุนี่กูตุ้ยล่ะมั้ยเนี่ยแล้วมันไม่รู้ยิอตุ้ยนี่มันเย็นล่ะเออเปลี่ยนตัวล่ะไม่รู้ถูกป่ะอติอ่ะปูติล่ะเออหนีหมู่ชูซ้านน่ะอตุ้ยนี่หนีมาหนีแน่หลูตุ้ยอ่ะเทินน่ะโอ้อตุ้ยนี่เปลี่ยนมันตีนตัวเปลี่ยนแน่หลูเทินเนี่ยအမှန်ပြတ်တော့တာမဟုတ်ဘူးငြိမ်အောင်လည်းလုပ်တာမဟုတ်ဘူးတိအောင်ချူစားတာအတွေးတွေတိဖို့ချူစားတာဆိုတော့အဲ့အဲ့တခုပေါ့အဲ့တော့တိလာတာလို့တဘောထား
တဘောထား
နော်နောက်တိတော့ appreciate လို့မှာရအောင်ပြောမှာဟုတ
်ပါတယ် just before we begin from the questions from the interview groups yesterday Sierra wanted to say this to everyone when he said not to focusSome people misunderstand a little bit. He's more concerned that people put too much energy into focusing. When we know something, for example, he said yesterday, looking at something, like if you look at something now and you know what it is, that's a kind of focus, but it's just enough to know what is there, just enough to know the experience or what you're looking at.So when you're being aware, you know, and you're being aware, you will know a particular experience or object more clearly than others. And that's enough. That's what he's saying. He's worried about people trying to put all their energy onto one object with too much force.Yep, there is a Pali term called vitakka, which is application. And that's just the repeated application of the attention onto an object. It's not, to put it crudely, it's not pressing the attention on the object. It's just placing the attention on the object, and then the attention, because it's momentary, fades, and then you place it again. And then you place it again, and you place it again. And...That's not in English. That's, I think, generally not called focusing. Yeah. When we use the word focus in English, we seem to think there's a tuning in, a fine tuning, a going in deeper. So that's not that quality. But there is a clear knowing of an object in your experience. And if there's just that much awareness, then...The natural tendency is that you know one object clearly and you also know there are some other objects around. And some of these other objects may be thinking. And he says, if you find that you're also aware of thinking in the mind, please don't think that the mind is wandering away.
Focus is short. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it.
So if any of you are used to doing a practice where you press your attention on an object or lean into an object a lot, then if you lean out a bit, you defocus a little bit to just to where you're knowing it clearly but not necessarily putting a lot of energy, you will find that you know other objects in your experience. And some of these objects may be thoughts.And he says, when you recognize that there's thinking happening in the mind, do not think that the mind has started getting distracted or wandering. Yeah? The purpose of meditation is to know what is truly happening in the mind as it is. And this is what is happening naturally in the mind. When you don't focus too much, then there is a natural recognition of all the many processes that sort of arise in the mind.And the goal of the practice is really to know what is happening as it arises and not to calm the mind down. Yep, he's not interested in you practicing in order to become calmer or quieter. Although, logically speaking, if there's right view, you're patient, you're practicing steadily,That's just a natural byproduct. That isn't necessarily the goal. It may be there or it may not be there, it doesn't matter. The goal is to recognize the true experience you're having in every moment. So, to extrapolate from my last, what I just said last, that the goal is to be aware. He says we need to appreciate that we are aware. We sorely lack the appreciation or the knowledge that if we are aware, that's good enough. That's exactly what we are here to do. And if you're knowing something, that the recognition should be that, oh, there is awareness, even though it may be very unpleasant or very pleasant. There is awareness.
Pleasant object, unpleasant object. Awareness, shinibuadiga.
So pleasant, something pleasant is an object. Something unpleasant is also an object. You are aware. That's all that's important for you. You are aware, regardless of whether it's pleasant or unpleasant.
Why am I the awareness aware?
What you are cultivating in the practice is the awareness, is the recognizing that there is awareness being brought to every moment. Whether it's unpleasant or pleasant for you, you still remain aware. You're still present, you're experiencing it, you know it. To just recognize that the mind is thinking or even agitated, that's not difficult because we're so aware of it, aren't we? It's like, oh, the mind feels restless or agitated. You already know it. You already recognize it, so there is awareness. To try to make that restlessness go away, that takes energy. Then you'll be efforting. You'll be doing something. So if you see thoughts and you think, how should I observe this so that it will stop thinking? Yes, you start to put in energy. You start to plan and create. But if it's just to recognize that, yes, there's thinking, and obviously I'm aware of it, obviously, awareness is still here. To appreciate that awareness is still present. So, if every time there's a thought, or if as you are thinking, you're not only thinking, you're also clearly aware that you're aware of the thinking, the process, then you're aware. So you want to recognize that if you're aware every time of whatever comes up, that's your job being done. The only trouble is if you're lost in thought and you're not aware you're thinking. Yeah, then you're lost in thought. Of course, okay, when you're aware, it's fine. Don't regret it. But if you're aware that you're thinking, that's fine. Because there is awareness. When we use the term wandering mind, he says it's when we're lost in thought. We don't know there's thinking. We don't know anything. We're just in the ruminations of the mind. He says then, yes, there's no awareness. But if you're aware that there is thinking, aware the mind is thinking, you're not wandering. You're aware of thinking. Yes?
Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah.
Can we, yeah.
Okay, questions.
Saito, it seems to me that during the day as I'm practicing, the mind could be with one object for some time, whether it's the posture or the breath. The mind can be more open with different objects coming and going. And the mind can also be, as you're encouraging, recognizing that it's aware and checking the quality of that awareness. Is there wanting or aversion? I'm curious, are you encouraging us to use any one of those modes of practice more than the other, or simply to allow the attention to move between them as is natural?
So the question is, I have to repeat, the question is whether it's okay to allow... recording it.
Okay.
That'll be your question. So the question is about, and you also get to know whether I understand what you said. So the question is about whether whether it's okay for the mind to settle on one object if it happens naturally and stay on that, and sometimes if the mind is in is having a broader view and knowing several objects at the same time and it feels that's natural, if it's okay to be that way, or if it's okay to just let the mind choose itself, whatever is most natural in the moment.
Or, yeah. If the other thing that seems there's an option for the mind to simply know awareness.
And its quality, yes.
And its quality.
Yeah. And, I have to repeat that. And if it's okay for the mind to simply know that awareness is present and to check its quality.
Yeah.
Yes? Tumira, takarle sika, ayon takuba manire. Ayon takuma daoshaunire. Takarle le sika, po che bro, ayone hoti di ti tire. Takarle tu sika, tine man tire. Number
eight, tine le
quality ule pian check lo te tire. Diharia, tu a che, using a di.
ဒီထက်တခုကိုပိုကောင်းတယ်လို့ပြောချင်တာလားမဟုတ်စိတ်ကသူ့တဘာဝအတိုင်းဖြစ်နေတဲ့အတိုင်းလက်ခံတော့ဟုတ်တော့ဆုံးအချိန်ကြီးအကောင်းဆုံးပဲအပြည့်လိုက်နောက်ဆုံးအချိန်ကြီးရောက်လာဟုတ်ကဲ့ဒါမဲ့ဖြစ်အောင်တော့လုပ်တာမဟုတ်ဘူးအပြည့်လိုက်စိတ်အပြည့်လိုက်တော့တည်နေတော့ပြန်တည်နေဒီနေထားသူအာယုန်လေးကိုတည်နေတဲ့စိတ်နဲ့တွဲတည်နေမယ်ဆိုရင်ဒါပစ်ချက်က complete ဖြစ်အဲ့ဆိုဆရာတော်ကတော့
if the mind naturally is in one of those modes, you just let it be in one of those modes. What he does say is that when the awareness is feeling more powerful, when the awareness has some momentum or it's feeling more grounded, that's when you will have the experience of knowing more and also knowing the awareness. So, but it's not a state that you want to aspire to. You want to allow your mind to be in whatever state it is now, because that's the power the awareness has at that time. And if you let it, the awareness will gain power and then go back into that state where it knows its awareness. It can check the quality of the awareness. Yes? When you get to that state where the mind is aware of the awareness and is also aware of the object, it also knows the quality of the awareness, he says you have a more complete picture. At times like that, it affords you the opportunity to investigate the relationship between the quality of the awareness and how that affects your perception of the object and vice versa. Wow, I think I have to number you. Can I give you number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? After this, I'll just call the number.
Okay.
Well,
ပြီးတော့ဟိုစိတ်ကညင်ပြီးတော့ရေတော့ရှုပ်တာအောင်တကယ်လို့ကြည်တာရှင်းအောင်ရှင်းပြီးတော့ဒုတိယလာဆိုအဲ့ဒါစိတ်ကိုရှုပ်သွားတယ်လို့ပဲလေမကြိုက်တာနဲ့မကြိုက်တာတည်တော့ဟိုအစအဲ့ဒါခိလေးစာဟုတ်တာပဲဆိုပြီးတော့ဟိုရှင်းတဲ့အချိန်နည်းနည်းရှုပ်လာရင်အဲ့ဟာပဲတည်တတ်တယ်အဲ့ဒါတော့
Hmm. the process to cool on the knee, I showed my shoulder, I'm searching him. Peter, my department shoulder, some lunching. Think about now, though. Any balloon majida, balloon majida, PPG, and now my investigator will build. I could not pin it at Alodini. A tower. No, Dini, beat her. Yeah.
So the question is, she said she's been practicing 1 or 2 days and, you know, it's been getting better. She was sleepy the first couple of days. It's getting better. And she's able to be aware. She can see the difference between looking and seeing a little better. And she says, when the mind is clear, she says, and something crosses the mind, she says she can see the aversion arising and the mind gets agitated. And she's aware of the aversion. She reminds herself, this is nature. And she, you know, and she says, sometimes the stuff that crosses the mind, it's persistent. Then she loses the clarity of mind, and it's just agitation. And she's just knowing all this. And he says, yes, just know that. He says, continue to be aware of that. If the mind is agitated, know that the mind is agitated. So he says it's just enough that she's recognizing everything and accepting it and allowing herself to just to continue being aware. What she can do is to investigate once she has more food for thought, more data. She's been observing a while. She can start to investigate why the mind is agitated. She said clearly she doesn't like what's happening. He said yes. Then the question is, why doesn't the mind like this? And then what does the mind not like? So the answer may not come immediately, but with observation and with the introduction of the thought, the investigation can happen. She just has to continue being aware of the aversion and the conditions around it. She says she noticed that when she feels tired, it seems like there's more greed around it. He said, yes, when there's greed, it makes you tired. And she wants Yadu to explain seeing and looking a little more. So he said the difference between seeing and looking is that seeing is just a passive activity where your eyes are open, so because that's the function of the eye, you can seeing happens. Whereas in looking, there is a movement of the mind to pay attention to one of the things it's seeing. It focuses attention on one of the things it's seeing, so it looks at it, so that's looking. So there is a paying attention or a focusing on one thing in the view of this, in all that it sees. And he says what she can then notice is that when she looks at something, how does the mind react? Does the mind have an interaction with what it sees? First of all, what pushes the mind to look at that particular object? What is the motivation for looking? And then having looked, what then arises in the mind? What reaction does the mind have to what it is looking at? So she can investigate that. In seeing, he said, there is the passive seeing, which is like a function. He says, and there is the knowing that they're seeing. If you can actually see the difference, it's better. Question for everybody. Do you see because you look, or do you look because you can see?
面露记得啦,记录面啦啦。
面露记得啦。
记录面啦啦。
Or if you put it in English, are you able to look because you can see, or are you able to see because you can look, or are you able to see because you are looking? Yeah. Yeah, we're able to look because we can see.
See, mien lo chi da tabawa cha, da nyan ba la. Mien man ti bi ma, ji de ya ko chi chin na ho chi ya. Chi lo mien ne so yin
He says, so when it's because we're seeing that then we choose to look at something in our field of seeing or vision, he says that's the natural process. Yeah, he says, when we only see something because we look at it, that's greed. It's where we choose to look at something and we only see that. It's like focusing on that and only seeing that. He said, he says, when you know that seeing, that there is seeing, and then there is a choice from all that you see to look at one particular thing. He said, there's wisdom at work. You understand that there is this process and you can look. He says, when you look without even recognizing that there is seeing, he says, that's delusion. And I said, how can you look without seeing? And he says, all of us are doing that all the time. I said, that's true. I thought we were blind, and how could we see? He says, so like blind people, he says, they just concentrate a lot on hearing. They try to listen. Yeah? And they...
Okay.
Number two.
Number two, look.
Yeah.
The question is, where is it skillful to
look
But the thought pattern is not related to the current moment, past or future. It may be greed. So is it then skillful to let go of the thought and open the awareness? Mm.
So the question is, is it skillful to abandon a thought when a thought process is not related to the present moment? Maybe it's about the past or the future. And basically that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
ပဲချိန်မှအတွေးတစ်ခုကသူကမချွတ်ကိလေသာပါနေတဲ့အတွေးတစ်ခုပဲချိန်ပဲချိန်နေမှာသူ့လွတ်ချတင်တယ်တဲ့သူကပြစ်စုပ်ပါနဲ့လည်းမဆိုင်သူကအတိတ်ကနေဒါမဲ့ရှောက်တွေးနေတယ်ပဲချိန်မှမလွတ်ချပါနဲ့ဒါမဲ့မနိုင်ဘူးဇေမလွတ်ချနေဆိုတာဒီလိုနားလဲမှသူကလွတ်သွားတာဒါမဲ့တချို့အတွေးတွေထပ်ထပ်မနိုင်နဲ့ဟာဟို
He says there is no need to abandon a thought or any thought. He says no thought is not related to the present moment in a real sense because the thought is arising in the present moment. The story may be about the past or the future, but a thought is arising in the mind right now. So if the thought or the process of thinking is your object, it's happening in the present moment. So it's very present.
The danger.
So you're not interested in the story, you're interested in the working of the mind, the movement of the mind is thinking. These things are arising in the mind. So that's the object, the thought itself, rather than the story of behind it. When you find yourself overwhelmed by thinking of a certain kind, and you're not able to actually be able to watch it without getting sucked into the story, That's when you abandon the thought. That's when he says you don't look at that thought or that mind or that story anymore. You take another neutral object that you're able to plant and anchor your mind on and concentrate and work on that to build awareness. Just question. Did I leave you out when I was numbering people? I think I did.
Number three? We
are. Number three first. Number three. Yes.
This is similar. So if the mind is inclined to kind of notice or be aware of objects, but, you know, in the mind there's also this kind of idea that it's skillful to kind of spend a little bit more time, let's say, noticing the awareness of the objects, then is it I'm just wondering about the usefulness of helping to incline the mind more to notice the awareness through investigation or inquiry? Or, you know, I'm wondering about that versus moving out of the moment of just noticing the object as opposed to trying to move towards awareness and not efforting that way, but, you know, inclining more that way.
Mm. I think I do. I think. I'm not sure. So the question is, if the mind is naturally just aware of objects, do you gently incline your mind to also notice that the awareness that is present together with the object? Or
right, to kind of like move more towards noticing awareness of the object.
So. Because you already notice it. Because you already know it's there. Yeah, so you right. So the mind is used to just being aware of the objects, and you want to incline the mind to also include the awareness with the objects.
Actually, there's a greed element because there's more towards awareness. You know, kind of like this aspiration or movement towards, you know, thinking. So that is where the mind
wants
to go.
So the question is it more skillful to go towards the awareness and actually try to make an effort to know the awareness more, whether there's a greed element in it or not? Yes. Okay. Tua sika tu da bawa ayong ti tat. Ayong shiu toa toa ne. Tua di ti le sik phak ko sik ko po. Ti le sik ko po ti bo chou za am la. Da mae tu me go a blu le so na ne lo ba da lo be.
ကိုတိရဖက်ကိုများများထားနိုင်အောင်လို့ကြိုးစားရမလားအဲ့လိုမျိုးဖြစ်သူပရမတော့အားမပြည့်တင်တော့ကြိုးစားရင်ပူဆိုးလာတယ်ဒီမှန်လာလိမ့်မယ်သူအားထက်ရတော့မှာသူကသူအားပြည့်လာမှာနေနိုင်လာပြီသူကိုငြင်းနိုင်ပြီးရောဟုတ်လားဒီဟိုတတိယဆက်ဆက်ပြီးဆိုရင်တိတဲ့စိတ်ကသူ့ကလို့လို့ထင်ရှားလာအဲ့အချိန်ကျမှတော့သူအားပြည့်အောင်သူကအရင်ဆုံးဆက်ဆောင်လုပ်ပြီးမဖြစ်တဲ့အတိမလို့
While you're aware of the object. He says, yes, you can incline your mind slightly towards it. But he said the danger is that if your grip is not strong enough, then you'll drop it. So if it comes naturally and you have a sense that it's there, yes, you can incline your mind. But if you don't, he says, then it's actually counterproductive to keep trying to see the awareness when you can't. So he gave this example that he says the nature is that if you're aware continuously, then it's sort of like putting dots on a line. If you put dots on a line, after a while it looks like a line. So if you're aware continuously, after a while there is this sense of the awareness's presence. Yes, and then you can acknowledge that and recognize that. But if and our awareness, the power of our awareness fluctuates. So sometimes you're not able to, and then you just have to be content with simply practicing to make the awareness continuous again before you can switch back into that mode. So when you're able, you can incline your mind towards it. When you're not able, you just have to let it go and go back to just building awareness. Yes? Continuity. Number, that was How can the mind be aware of the defilements such as aversion and greed? Because the mind seems to go to the objects, and aversion and greed color perception, so it's more difficult, more tricky to catch them, you said. You access the defilements through your feelings. So you experience your defilements by recognizing what you're feeling. So there is feelings of agitation, of discomfort, of, you know,
tension,
pushing, tension. So these feelings reflect to you the emotion or the defilement that is present. So that's how you can... You can make that part of your practice, that every time you experience something externally or internally, you check to see how you're feeling, what your mind's reaction is towards it, whether positive or negative.
By feeling, do you mean pleasant or unpleasant?
Yes.
Or do you mean feeling like fear or attraction?
Yes, okay.
Pleasant and unpleasant is a generalization of all feelings. So like fear or attraction, fear could be unpleasant and attraction could be pleasant. Or sometimes some people find fear attractive. And so, you know, whichever way you look at it, it's what you're you have to recognize the feeling in your own experience. Do up your behow feeling look hor ko no feeling damat takat le ko a chaut taw chai de tchu lu a chaut taw ma chai bu ho khan sa lu ma kaung tchu lu lo khan sa lu kaung de a lu
a lu pa le mental state lu pyaw le
ya so it's all in I mean any of it is open to investigation yeah you can
to ha pyaw ma feeling.
Number five? It's answered. Number, can I just do?
You speak of seeing and looking. Would you say that looking is something we do with the mind, whereas seeing is something we do with the eyes, and so a blind person could look with their mind?
That's already languaging. It's not to do with the actual physical realities. Sorry, I have to repeat the question. So you said with looking and seeing.
There was discussion of looking and seeing.
Yes, yes. No, I just need to repeat your question for the recording.
The question would be,
yes.
Is looking something we do more with our mind?
Well, seeing is something that's done with the eyes. So your premises would... So would a blind person then be able to look? Because it's a movement of the mind. Chira na mien nao. Pyo ra tae ma tuwa. Chira se ayung pyu ra so ro. Mien na cha ro mien si a lo lo da ra. Ero.
Mien ti da, wa mien nao ti da so yin. Mien si ayu da si mien man ti da.
Yeah. Error.
Consciousness ba ma mien na ba. Consciousness ma ba mien na lu pyo lu ya.
Error tu wa pyo jin na. Error myesi kan ne lu wa sait ne chi lo ya ma la.
A yo pyo lu ya da bo. Sait ne a yo pyo chin na tu le mien chin na bo. Chi chin na bo.
Da ma chi lo ro
ma ya. Myesi ma ma ka bo.
He says in the physical reality consciousness or mind is also a part of the reality of seeing. Although it happens through the eye sense door, so seeing only happens through the eyes. They don't happen through the ears or the nose or the mouth. Yes, so that's the physical reality. You see through the eyes, and when the consciousness of an object's presence comes because of the contact through the eyes, that is called seeing, very technically speaking. So
So
when the vision that is the eye's picture, the eye's the eye takes in, the sense contact, and that is known by the consciousness, that's called seeing consciousness. He says a similar analogy in hearing, and with hearing it's slightly easier to understand because sound is the object. In seeing we call the object sight, but we often get mixed up with the concepts. Sound is the object, and he says when we know sound, we're conscious of sound through the ear, that's called hearing consciousness. That's called hearing. Yes. So the similarity. But he says when your question comes to the point of whether a blind person can look because it's a movement of mind, he says of course a blind person can aspire to look, but because a blind person cannot see, at least that looking through the eyes cannot happen. That consciousness of sight cannot happen for that blind person. Yeah?
Concentrate, focus loader. Are you music at the same focus loader? Cheetah. Not on that. See it, quality to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay attention to do it.
Yeah.
Do have a
yeah. He wants you all to try and understand this. So we'll start with just paying attention. You use your mind to pay attention to something. For example, now if you pay attention to a sensation in the body, you can see that movement of mind. You feel a sensation in the body. Now, if you will bring that same attention to listen to something, so you bring your attention, and maybe like if I bring my attention, I can hear something. There's a buzzing in the room. So you've brought your attention to your hearing, you're listening. Yes, you brought your attention to the hearing. And then he says, with seeing, that same movement of mind, he says it's like maybe if you all close your eyes and then there is a sound, and then you want to know where that sound is coming from, he says you might want to look. But if you don't open your eyes, you won't be able to look to see what made that, you know, you won't be able to look to see what it was. But of course, the desire to look can arise. But so long as your eyes are not open, you cannot see. Yes? So, but they're all a similar quality of paying attention to what is already in that range of experience. So in seeing, you're able to look at something. In hearing, you're able to listen to something. And in your experience, you're able to pay attention He says this may have happened to all of you in some way or another, maybe a similar. So he says in Burma, for example, there are coconut trees, and it's not unusual for a yogi to hear a coconut fall to the ground, and then instantly a picture of someone, you know, hanging onto the coconut tree might arise in the mind. Because instantly when we hear something and we recognize what that sound represents, the mind then creates an image of what that sound is associated with. So again, he's illustrating this fact that the mind pays attention. So in this case, what it's done is it's heard something that it may not be known exactly, factually, what it is, but the mind, when it wants to know, then it brings its attention to an image that it creates for itself, and then, you know, it has already created a picture for itself to interpret the sound. Yeah, so whether it's factually real or not, the mind always wants to know, and then it brings its attention, and when it doesn't know factually, it can bring up images that it brings its attention to interpret its experience. Okay.
No.
Time's up. Oh. The cool
yeah.
La.
How to do?
Okay, he said during the interview then. Sorry. It's a bit tight this morning because he's got an interview at 9:30. Yeah. Okay.